Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Which verse? 6:13. Sa cha pi tane yok te na.
Sa cha pi tane yok te na.
Yoga te she na yoga yok.
Yoga te she na yoga yok.
Tasmin ashrama api de. Sarasvatya samahita.
Sarasvatya samahita.
Sacha pi tanayoktena.
Sacha pi tanayoktena.
Yoga dechena yoga yog.
Yoga dechena yoga yog.
Tasmin ashrama api de. Sarasvatya samahita.
Samahita.
Please check. Yoga yoga. Sarasvatya samahita.
Sacha
pi tane yoktena.
Yoga
deshena yoga yog.
Tasmin ashrama apide.
Sarasvatya samahita. Satyapi tane yoktena. Yoga deshena yoga yog. Vinashrama apide. Satyakshrama hita. Sa.
Sa.
She.
She.
Cha. And. Api also Tanaya by her son Uktena spoken Yoga Adishena by the instruction on yoga. Yoga Yoga engaged in Bhakti Yoga. Tasmin, in that, ashrame, hermitage, apide, the flower crown, Sarasvatya, of the Sarasvati, samahita, fixed in samadhi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As instructed by her son, Devahuti also began to practice bhakti yoga in that very ashrama. She practiced samadhi in the house of Kardama Muni, which was so beautifully decorated with flowers that it was considered the flower crown of the river Sarasvati. Purport. Devahuti did not leave her house because it is never recommended for a woman to leave her home. She is dependent. The very example of Devahuti was that when she was not married, she was under the care of her father, Swayambhuva Manu. And then Swayambhuva Manu gave her to Kardama Muni in charity. She was under the care of her husband. In her youth, and then her son, Kapila Muni, was born. As soon as her son grew up, her husband left home, and similarly, the son, after discharging his duty toward his mother, also left. She could have also left home, but she did not. Rather, she remained at home and began to practice bhakti yoga as it was instructed by her great son, Kapila Muni. And because of her practice of bhakti yoga, the entire home became just like a flower crown on the river Saraswati. Anuvad. Apne putra ke upadesh anusar, Devahuti usi ashram mein bhakti yoga ka abhyas karne lagi. Unhone Kardama Muni ke ghar mein samadhi lagai. जो फूलों से इस प्रकार सुसज्जित था मानो सरस्वती नदी का फूलों का मुकुट हो. तात्पर्य श्री प्रभुपाद का. देवहूति ने अपना घर नहीं छोड़ा क्योंकि स्त्री के लिए घर छोड़ने की कभी भी संस्तुति नहीं की जाती. वे पराश्रित थी. यही देवहूति विवाह के पूर्व अपने पिता स्वयंभू मनु के संरक्षण में थी. फिर उनके पिता ने कर्णम मुनि को सौंप दिया. अपनी युवावस्था में वे अपनी पति पति के संरक्षण में थी और तभी उन्होंने पुत्र रूप में कपिल को जन्म दिया. जो ही पुत्र बड़ा हुआ उनके पति ने घर त्याग दिया. वे चाहती तो घर छोड़ सकती थी किंतु उन्होंने ऐसा नहीं किया. वे घर में ही रहकर अपनी महान पुत्र कपिला मुनि के उपदेश के अनुसार भक्ति योग का अभ्यास करने लगी. उनके भक्ति योग के कारण ही उनका पूरा घर सरस्वती नदी पर फूल के मुकुट सा बन गया. Devahuti observed the external duties according to her bodily conditioning, but she also perfectly followed her spiritual obligations. Devotees living in the material world should understand that they're living on two different levels. They have their material existence, and they should live suitably according to the situation of their bodies and minds. But they have their spiritual identity, and that is more important. They should act spiritually, but both go together. They're not contradictory. It is not that one has to ignore completely or stop completely his material life in order to have a spiritual life. Jaya Shivakantai. Although Devahuti was a perfect yogi, what she's practicing is not the practice of a neophyte. She is practicing samadhi. That means she is almost totally perfect. And she is not an impersonalist yogi. She is a great devotee of the Lord. And we can prove this by the fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapila, agreed to be her son. Krishna does not become the son of an impersonalist yogi. So as Prabhupada says, her husband left home, and then Kapila, after giving his instructions, he left home. Normally, a woman should not be left alone. If the son is, the father has left home and left her in the care of the son, then the son is obliged to take care of her for the rest of her life. But the son left. This is unusual. Strictly speaking, he should have stayed home. She had many maidservants, but he's leaving her alone, just with the servants. But she is practically a perfect yogi. She could have, Prabhupada said, she could have left for the forest also. And we do have some cases of ladies who went for the forest, or who left home, at least, who abandoned family in the service of Krishna. We have many cases of such ladies. But Devahuti chose to act properly according to the status of a woman. Even though you can say her son abandoned her, so why didn't she just go up to Vrindavan or someplace? But she stayed home. Two reasons I can see. One is, as Prabhupada discusses in the purport, a woman should never leave home. And she saw that she could just observe that principle. No need to violate that. Especially since number two, second reason, that home was a very special home. This is the meaning of Grihastha Ashrama. The home of the devotee who is a family man should be an ashrama. It should be a sanctified spiritual place. The sadhus go to the grihasthas, although those material homes are unsanctified, they're impure places, places of sense gratification. Maybe they're pious grihasthas, but still, they're living lives of sense gratification, even if they're living religiously. If they don't have Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness, then they're materialists. So, Sukadeva Goswami said, go dohana matrami, griheshu grihamedinam, avekshite mahabhagas, tirti kuravam tadashramam. A saint like Sukadeva would only go to the houses of the grihasthas to stay there only as long as it takes to milk a cow. That means he would accept some milk. Maybe he would not even accept rotis, I don't know. But he would wait for them to milk the cow, take the milk and leave. There's not even much time to give instructions. Because he didn't want, he was very detached, he did not want to be in the materialistic place. But we read about Yudhishthira. He was not only Grihastha, but a big king living in a fancy palace, living very opulently. But great sages and devotees would come, demigods from heaven would come to visit him. Because the home, the palace of Yudhishthira was a holy place. And therefore Vyasadeva came there, other great sages came there. They did not think, they came there for their sanctification, to visit the great pure devotee. So in some cases, it really is a grihastha ashrama, a holy place. And so the palace, the ashrama palace, this ashrama of Kardava Muni, he constructed this celestial palace that flew in the sky. This was not an ordinary grass hut of a rishi in the forest. For his wife's pleasure, for his wife's comfort, he made this palace, flying palace. And she was living there, in that ashram. You see the picture on the cover of this volume of Devahuti and her son sitting in the palace. He's giving instructions. Brilliant. Walls made of jewels. She stayed in that place because it was a holy place. Although it was so fancy, so opulent, it was a sanctified place. It was a suitable place for her to practice her meditation, to practice samadhi, complete absorption in Krishna. How can you absorb yourself completely in Krishna in a place of sense gratification? In a place where there is distraction of material enjoyment. But Devahuti did not see any distraction of material enjoyment in the ashrama palace of Kartika Muni. There she saw only things that could make her more focused on thought of Krishna. And therefore she remained there. She could have gone to the forest, but she saw it, so no need for her to do it. She's a woman, let her stay home, especially since this home is a very special home. So we also, we're not in that situation. We're not women. We don't have an opportunity to live in a fancy palace, but it's a simple ashram. Maybe marble on the floors, but it's still a simple place to live. Living in Govardhan is not normally luxurious. You have no heaters in the, no electric heaters in the winter. You have great heat in the summer. It's austerity to tolerate. It's an austere situation, even in the palace. But we, although we're not the same as Devahuti, we are in a similar situation. We have our material bodies and minds, and we have to act accordingly to their conditioning. If I am a passionate person, I should do some suitable service for Krishna. If my nature is to make money, or my nature is to talk to people all day, then I should not try to become a scholar. It's not my nature to sit with my nose in a book all day. And to try to do that would be artificial. So I should be busy for Krishna, using my nature. Not artificially try to be something else that I'm not. I have to recognize, even as a brahmachari, we have to recognize our bodily conditioning and be willing to be engaged appropriately. If I can cook nicely, let me cook for Krishna. Not that I'm thinking, oh, cook is business of a shudra. We only can have a paid cooker. The devotee cannot do cooking as a service. But nonsense is this, a devotee cannot do cleaning. We have to pay people to clean, to cook. It should be the devotees, the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas do these things. These are Brahminical activities. When possible, in India it's very hard to get devotees to stay in the kitchen, hours at a time. Frankly, no, I don't know any major ashram in India, ISKCON ashram, where we actually have, unpaid people in the kitchen. I don't know, maybe someplace. But the principle is there that we should act according to our nature. When we are transcendentally situated, when we are beyond the modes, their influence, then we can do anything. But before that, when we're still somewhat attached to our material conditioning, we should do something for Krishna according to that nature. Be satisfied with that. Don't try to do something else. To follow someone else's nature. Your perfection is to be what you can be, not to be what somebody else is. Shreyan Swadharmo Viguna Para Dharmo Vayavaha. Better to do your own duty, even if you do it imperfectly. It is a cause of danger and fear to try to imitate somebody else's responsibility. Everybody has different services to do in the carrying out of Prabhupada's mission. It's not that we have to be the most important person or the most glorified person. We just have to participate and contribute something to Prabhupada's mission. It doesn't have to be a very glorious thing that everybody notices. Better to do a very small service, but have it actually useful, than to do something very big that actually causes trouble. that doesn't serve Prabhupada's purposes, that deviates, that doesn't really, it's not really what Prabhupada wanted. Better do something small that's appropriate than to do something very big that's inappropriate. Our perfection is when we please our spiritual masters, and when we get their blessings, and when Krishna is satisfied with us, then our life is perfect. Not when many people glorify us, when we have much money in our pocket and power. These are not the standards of spiritual success. To have money, to have power, to have influence. These are the things we should be avoiding. We can accept him if we have to for Krishna's service. The same Yudhishthira, he accepted so much power, so much money, so much influence. He was glorified, worshipped by all the citizens. He had so much authority. But he didn't take it because he wanted it. He took it only because Krishna wanted him to do it. In fact, Krishna had to force him to do it. After the battle of Kurukshetra was finished, Yudhishthira was feeling very guilty and doubtful. He actually refused. He did not want to sit on the throne. He refused to accept the throne. Just like Arjuna had his time of doubt before the battle, he refused to fight. And Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to make him fight. So after the battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhishthira refused to accept the throne. And it actually took a long time to convince him. His brothers tried to convince him. Did not work. He did not listen to their arguments. Vyasadeva tried to convince him. No, that wasn't good enough. He still was not convinced. He still refused. He argued, "It is my fault that all these kings have died, their wives are now widows, the whole dynasty is destroyed, and it's my fault. There's no way that I can atone for this sin. And how? I cannot sit on the throne. I will not." And even Krishna could not convince him. Krishna did not speak a second Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira because Yudhishthira would not listen to him. Only his guru, Bhishma, was able to convince him. Yudhishthira, in such doubt, he went with his brothers to see Bhishma Dev lying on his deathbed on the battlefield. And he requested Bhishma Dev to please remove his doubt. And Bhishma Dev gave him very elaborate instructions that are contained in 300 chapters of the Mahabharata, 360 chapters of instructions given by Bhishma Dev. 360 chapters, that's bigger than the whole Bhagavatam. I don't know, the number of verses maybe is less, but 360 chapters, some of the chapters are short. And then Yudhishthira, hearing all this instruction from about his duty, hearing so much instruction from Bhishma Dev, only then did he accept, "All right, I will do my duty and sit on the throne and be the king." But he had his doubt, and he had to be convinced. Living entity is imperfect. Only God is perfect. Arjuna made his mistake by refusing to fight. Yudhishthira also made the mistake to refuse to rule, but then he accepted. He was very reluctant. He did not fight for the kingdom for his own selfish purposes. He did it as his duty to God and to the Vaishnavas. He fought for the kingdom for the glory of Krishna, not for his own. And in the end, he accepted He accepted the throne only as duty to his guru and to Krishna.
Otherwise, he didn't want it. He didn't want all that material power. He didn't want all that wealth and opulence. But he accepted it for his service. Like that, we may have to accept power, money, material riches, material influence, but only we should accept it because it's required for Krishna's service, for the mission of Prabhupada. We shouldn't want these things for our own enjoyment and our own aggrandizement. If we do, then we're becoming materialistic. This is an obstacle in the path of devotional service. To become attracted by the byproducts. You can have wealth, you can have fame, you can have power as a secondary effect of serving Krishna. But if you become attracted to these, then it can ruin your spiritual life. You can become materialistic. That's the seeds of material desire. Devotional service burns them away. But until you become very advanced in devotional service, they're still sitting in the heart. They have not been destroyed completely. And if you indulge them, the propensities for desire for material power, for material comfort, then that is a very dangerous situation. So a brahmachari is in a good position. He doesn't have much facility for power and for enjoyment. He has to live as if he's a real brahmachari, he has to live a simple life. A real brahmachari, not a brahmachari with a secret bank account and plans, you know, to get married and do this and that. Brahmachari can get married later on, but he shouldn't be planning, wearing saffron, collecting money, making plans how he's going to get married and go to Australia and enjoy. Krishna may make that happen, but he shouldn't be, as a brahmachari, wearing saffron, you know, putting money away in the bank in preparation for that. That's not the business of a brahmachari. He shouldn't be wearing saffron. No, a brahmachari shouldn't have a secret bank account and unnecessary possessions. But if he's a real brahmachari, then he's living a simple life. And that is the safest position. Better to stay in that position as long as possible. Because then you can concentrate on simply serving Krishna, not serving your material desires. So anyway, Devahuti, she's a woman, she cannot be a brahmachari, but she's staying in the ashram. In the ashram of her husband and her son, her two gurus. So she's staying in the guru's ashram to the end of her life and achieving her perfection. Very glorious perfection of life. Very glorious way to end her life. We cannot find any fault in anything that Devahuti did. Exemplary, perfect life. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I'll stop. Are there any questions or comments? Okay. Alright, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.